Hey, welcome to Horns Up. I'm Animesh.
And I'm Peter.
Peter, do you like pineapples on your pizza?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I mean, not like I'd have it at every pizza I'll have, but yeah, once in a while, it's not bad.
But now that you've tasted it, you want to keep coming back for it, right? Like, it gives you something which other normal toppings don't.
Obviously, yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Okay, so the reason I'm asking these questions is because, well, the band that we are talking to on the cast today are the pineapples on the black metal pizza. They are a funky topping, which purists may not enjoy at all. But hey, if you like them zingy, juicy, and evolutionary tastes, you know it's something you'll always crave and keep wanting. That is my delicious introduction for Austria's Harakiri for the Sky. Did I make any sense?
Yeah, I think you did. I mean, it's a strange way of putting the band, but I totally agree.
So we've got vocalist JJ and guitarist Matthias, and we're talking the band's fifth album, Mare, that finally releases after a lot of delays on Feb 19th. Hope we don't jinx that. Same rules apply. Hear the interview first and the album later, or the album first and then circle back to this chat. Here we fucking go. Hi, Matthias and JJ. Welcome to Horns Up. How are the both of you doing today?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having us. We're doing fine, like, regarding the circumstances. But yeah, we're glad to be able to talk to you tonight.
Okay, so before we begin, since there are two of you here, could both of you introduce yourselves? I didn't know who I just heard. Was that you, Matthias, or was that you, JJ?
I think it was me, Matthias.
Okay.
I'm the one always talking loud and annoying, so we have a very different tone of our voice, so it will be easy to distinguish for you.
So, and this is me, JJ, and I have a different voice than Matthias has.
He's a bit shy.
So weird, right? Like, JJ is the vocalist, but he's the shy one?
Yeah, you know, it's a huge difference if you can just, you know, yell out the lyrics that you write that represent what you think, or if you have to talk freely.
Being loud is a difference to, just talk. And
right. So, you know, we're here to talk about your fifth album, and I'm going to just put this up front. I might butcher the name, so apologies for that. But Maere, which releases exactly 3 years after your last album, Arson. So how does it feel to have new music releasing after, you know, the shit show of that last year was?
Well, it's, you know, it everything was delayed because of this fucking pandemic. You know, we actually planned to release it already in 2020, but you know, it was just impossible. All the pressing plans were delayed, and it feels really great to finally have it out as the album is finished already for now, almost 1 year.
I think the last couple of vocal stuff we did in the end of January 2020.
We went
to Russia. I think
this was the last weekend. Finished it exactly like the mixing process like 2 weeks before the lockdown, and then vocals were supposed to be done, and then, you know, all the trouble started because Stefan Neisch from Alcest, he wanted to record the stuff, but they had the total lockdown in Paris, so he couldn't leave his flat, so we had to wait more until he could enter a studio and record. So, like, nothing went as planned. But so, as you said, it's a huge relief that it finally will come out now.
Was this release date then not a coincidence at all, I'm guessing,
no,
right?
You know, we wanted to release in September 2020. Then it was not realistic at all. Then 29th of January, that we had to delay again to the 19th of February, just because, you know, there was some fucking COVID cluster in the pressing plant and they had no workers there. So
you have to adapt. To ship.
Yeah. You have to adapt all the time with this shit.
So that was the effect that the pandemic had on Mare. What effect did it have on the both of you personally?
It fucked us up, seriously.
I tend to talk about 2020 as the year that broke me. So, it had a huge impact, I'd say.
You know, it just, you know, throws you off the ship completely. We are used to play a lot of shows. That was like our daily schedule to be away in other countries and then spend some time at home again. Now we were like faced with the reality to just stay at home all the time. Then in addition, like financial troubles that come with it. But you know, it's different, but you have to adapt. In the end, we still have a roof over our head, and it's kind of it could be worse, but still it's a tough situation.
Yep. It is. It definitely is. So let me ask you this then, for both of you, what was the silver lining, if at all?
Well, at the beginning of the pandemic, it was that we thought it would be over in 3 fucking months or something like that. Yeah. So we planned to do summer festivals in 2020. Then it went on. Then we had the second lockdown in autumn. Then it went on. Then we have the third fucking lockdown now. Then our stupid fucking government is unable to distribute vaccinations. So if they go on at this speed, it will be 2023 and until everyone is vaccinated and we can open up. So
sorry to interrupt you, but there are so many anti-vaxxers right now here in Austria. It's nearly like 50% or 40%, and that's way too much for something like immunity or
yeah,
something.
those you know, this conspiracy theory cunts. This is
everybody
so tiring.
Sitting on a toilet googling on his phone, thinks he studied medicine and knows how the vaccination works and stuff like this. It makes me so sick to think about this.
And to just phrase it short, our silver lining is that we have our vaccination, so we can finally travel to other countries again and play shows again, because we miss that a lot.
Yeah, it's so weird that the anti-vaxxer thing is spreading everywhere. It's like the next pandemic. Anyways.
Yeah. Apparently, you know, all this quarantine kind of enclosed stuff apparently affects the minds of people because they're going completely insane.
All right. Okay.
Yeah,
so
it makes people mad. You never thought about that could get mad because they were way down to earth before. But since this pandemic happened, so many people you thought that are straight thinking humans are totally out of mind.
Yeah, brings out the worst in some people.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, cool. So let's come back to discussing the album. Now, Arsene had reached number 29 on the German charts. What was your personal ambition before you started work on Mare? What did you guys want the album to be?
Well, you know, we wanted to make an album that we are personally satisfied with and happy with.
Yeah, totally.
Which is, of course, you know, as it's the fifth album, of course you think about, like, can you still bring something new or something as good as before, or will it be repetitive? Of course, those thoughts cross your mind. But, you know, you have to push this back and just, you know, write straight from the heart as before. And that's what we did. And let's see how people will receive it. So I hope people will like it.
All right. So while making Mare a reality, did your ambition for the album change in any manner at all?
No, I think it's. I know it sounds boring, but you know, we have the same ambition as before.
You just grow with every album you do.
Yeah,
you know, mature and try your best again and again and again.
What we do is kind of like self therapy. I try to translate what I feel into melodies and riffs, and JJ does the same with the lyrics. He just writes it off his heart, and that's the same ambition we had since the beginning. So some chart positions or whatever, or sales are not, that actually doesn't matter to us. That we just want to be happy what we put out.
Okay.
And I know it's a boring answer, but that's how
it is. If you finish an album and you listen to it maybe 1 or 2 years later, you still want to like it. That's the thing. If you're unsatisfied with it 2 years later, then it maybe did made some wrong decisions. But if it like I describe it, then I think that's the thing most musicians work or write music for, because they want to
every album, so to be said, is an out frame of the period of time where we wrote it. So, you know, it's always one chapter, like the album before, like we try to do like a snapshot of what happened to us, and we try to work it up. And the same is with the new album, you know, just to finish a period of time of our lives. That's just, you know, written down in music and lyrics.
So we can begin a new chapter. Something like this.
So definitely that's not a boring answer. That's just an honest answer.
Okay.
it is.
Okay, cool.
So sometimes honest answers can also be boring.
No, not at all. Not at all. Honest answers are the ones that make you keep coming back and wanting to talk. Anyways, so this is album number 5, right? So now that this is album number 5, I have to ask, is there a sort of formula or rather structure or a mode that you follow to get an album's worth of music out, right? So you've been doing this for so many times now. By now, is it easy for you to get started on a new Harakiri for the Sky album?
To be honest, I think the start is the hardest thing, you know. After like having an album out, to start fresh with new ideas, it's sometimes tough. But as soon as you're in the flow, you know, and you can open up to new ideas, then it just proceeds. It's of course, you know, the fifth album, you don't want, as I said before, you don't want to repeat yourself and everything. But the good thing about it is, as we know each other for such a long time, the harmony of how we work together, how we put the lyrics and combine them with the songs, that gets way more natural. And so that's a good thing, I think.
Yeah, we don't have to discuss it that much as we did maybe on Akugahara or second album or something. Because you just know each other since, like Matthias already said, for such a long time, you know where to put the singing and where to just let the guitars play for alone and all that. So it's pretty cool if you play in the same band for so many years. Makes it way more easier, and it is always cool that we just do it that we are just two people writing the songs. I also played in bands where we were like five people, and everybody said, "Oh, like do it like that." That's pretty hard sometimes. So
yeah, like too many cooks spoil the food.
Yeah, two people. That's a good combination, I'd say.
Yeah, and you know, we do the process separately. Like, I write the songs, I send the pre-production to him, and he like takes lyric fragments that he wrote before, and then he also takes inspiration of the music that I sent him. And that just works out because we have this like exact separation of work. But as we are good friends since like 12 years, and we listen to a lot of music together, we find our middle ground somehow, and then create something that we both enjoy, even though our steps of work are separated.
Right. So coming back to what you said, too many cooks spoil the broth. But having said that, this is your second album with Krim on drums. So how does that process work? I mean, do you have the drum parts kind of already demoed for the songs and share it with him, or you kind of leave it up to him to kind of do his thing?
No, I give him the drum tracks that I've written for the songs. And then he always has like 1 month preparation time or so. And in the studio, then on the fly, for example, if he has some feels or some ideas that I like, then I'm totally open to it, you know, that he changes that. But like the general frame of everything, he has the drum tracks, how I wrote it. And, you know, I'm really picky with some stops and some breaks and whatever. But, you know, if he has like a nice idea for a feel, you know, he is the drummer, not me. Then he should just go with the flow. And I think the way he plays drums, his style of playing fits very well. And exactly that mix of the stuff that I wrote him and those little additions that he does while being in the studio, I think that makes the Arson and Mare now like more elevated than the albums before.
All right. So what about the guest appearances? I mean, on this album, you have a couple of guest appearances. You've got Niegi from Alcest, who's on the track Sing for the Damage We've Done, and also the anonymous voice of Gaeria, which joins on Silver Need and Golden Dawn. I mean, Animesh and I are big fans of both bands. So first of all, we wanted to understand how the collaborations came about, and second, what they bring to the table.
Well, first of all, you know, Nish, Stefan from Alcest, we are like since years, even before we started the band, we were huge Alcest fans. And the second Alcest album was actually something we listened on that like particular night when we had the idea to start the band. So it was like a huge honor for us that he participated now on our album. You know, in Europe, you play a lot of festivals and then you have bands of the same genre. So we got to know each other and he's just a wonderful person. And just by like building up a friendship there, we finally dared to ask him if he wants to contribute. So we're really happy that he did, because I think it fits the song perfectly. And with Gaeria, with the singer, and actually it's a fun story, because I've been to Portugal in 2017 a few times, because my girlfriend was living there back then. And that's how I got to know the guys from Gaeria. And the singer, I don't know if I'm supposed to say his name, so let's keep it nameless. But he's a fantastic guy, and he also has, you know, this very harsh voice, where I thought it would be like a nice addition, you know, to JJ's voice. So we tried that out, and I'm pretty happy with the outcome.
And the other thing is, I like about the singer of Gaeria is like, same as me, he's a hardcore kid. Listening to bands like Converge and all that, so I really liked him from the first time, and yeah. But that's the story behind guest vocals, I'd say.
Yeah, it's always nice to like have features of actual friends on the album. You know, it brings a way closer feeling to everything.
So, is it the same thing? Do you just give them the track and have them do their thing, or do you demo what you want from them?
No, we have actually we send them the lyrics, then we send them a guide track, you know, pre-recorded one. And with Nash, for example, the clean part that he's singing, we just gave him the freedom to do what he wants, because he's just amazing with creating melodies. And the part that he's screaming afterwards,
He's the guy from Alcest. Don't say him how to sing his part or something. He just did it. It was totally,
that would be blasphemy.
Totally awesome. Yeah, it would be blasphemy to tell
no,
him.
No, not just the screen part, you know, we sent the guy track, but also told him he can do it whatever way he wants, because, you know, he's fucking
awesome
musical.
Anyway,
he would know what to do anyway. But
has it ever happened that they sent you something and you guys were like, oh, this wasn't what you were expecting?
No, actually, no. Just on the second album with a friend from Germany. He's playing in this like punk black metal band. He did like this really sleazy recording that it was really tough, you know, to fit it in the mix. Back then I was still doing it by myself.
I mean Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Foreigners, yeah, sure.
No, but in general, the contributions were always fine. Just in the beginning, like in the second album, the sound quality was not always easy to handle and fit in the mix, but that was all. But you know, it's fucking black metal. Right?
Yeah, but it's something we grew up with, so it was not a problem to us at all, I think. It also was the second album, but you have to, yeah, major from album to album, so it was a good step. I think the first two albums, it was cool that Matthias did record them himself, but I think it was also a good step to finally go to a studio and do it in a professional way, right?
Yeah, I think now we get a bit sidetracked.
Okay, cool. So after talking so much about the album, we'd like to play a song from it. Which one should we play and why that song?
Whatever you like best, man. It's tough to choose. I cannot choose a song.
That's why we put it on you.
Ah, shit, that's mean.
It's Paul Bearer.
Yeah, okay, then.
Paul Bearer.
All right, awesome.
Thank you.
Another thing that was quite interesting for me was the album Closer. It's a cover of the Placebo track, Song to Say Goodbye. Why did you all choose that track? And were there any other tracks that were considered before you all finalized on this one?
Yeah, you know, we always have, like, as we have always 2 years between the albums, we kind of have a pool of songs that we both bring to the table that we would like to cover. And then it's not always an easy decision to you know, get a common ground. But, you know, I've been a Placebo fan since I was, I don't know, 12 years old or so. And luckily, this particular song hold meaning to JJ as well, like lyric-wise. It was a good fit, so also with the...
There was way more.
The music and everything. So, yeah, it was quite easy to choose this one.
The thing is, sorry if I interrupt you, but the thing is, from the very beginning, we said our band concept, if we are doing cover songs for bonus tracks on vinyls or something, we won't choose a black metal song. We will choose a song that is from a different genre, like we did on Akihara with Mad World or something. And the same was with Placebo, which is, yeah, an indie band. And the thing is, Matthias likes, I think, every Placebo song. That is
pretty much.
But to me, Song to Say Goodbye, I think it was released the same time like I moved out from my parents' home somewhere else and then stuff. And so it had a huge impact lyrically as musically, and this is why I said, please let us do this one, because Matthias wasn't sure which of them, because he likes so much of their songs. But to me, I think Song to Say Goodbye, it could also be a Harakiri title. And from the lyrics, it could also be Harakiri lyrics. So I think it fits best of all them. I don't know.
Yeah, and in the end, we always find common ground. I think I first wanted to do Mads, but as you said, the lyrics have like something, a personal meaning to him. It was perfectly fine for me. And it's important when we do covers, as you said before, to not just cover a black metal song in black metal style, because there is little points in that.
We won't cover Transylvanian Hunger.
But you know, if you have something that has like the same like melancholy or fitting feeling, lyrics from another genre, and we can interpret it in our way, I think that's way more interesting than just like covering
Transylvanian Hunger.
Yeah, something in the same style.
Alrighty. I'm sure you get this a lot in your interviews that you're doing about the length of the album, right? At 124 minutes. This is a long listen. So here's the question. Would you say that lengthy albums demand a lot more from the listener? And are you okay if listeners take a break or, you know, listen to this album in parts rather than in entirety?
Can I answer this?
Of course.
I think it's pretty strange how time turned, because I think nowadays younger people are used to just listen to one or two songs of a band or an album or something. But back then, when I bought vinyls or albums, it was like the whole album in one. So I think it's. Yeah, it takes time to find in. How can I say it like this?
Was this the song?
Dass man da eine findet in album. To really
get into
an album that is so long. But I think if you are also interested in the concept and all that, I think it should be worth it. And I personally, I'm too old to just understand how people or younger people can just listen to one or two songs. So if a musician takes so much time and effort to do a lengthy album like this, it should also be
If I might add something to that, you know, it's if people ever have time to listen to a longer album, then it should be now when everybody's confined at home. Yeah. And, you know, it's not a concept album that you can only understand if you listen from the beginning to the end. So if you don't have the attention span for 84 minutes, then you can take a pee break in the middle or whatever, or play some stupid computer game if it's necessary. But, you know, when we write a certain amount of songs that we think are worthy to be on an album, then we won't kick some just because we think that like young people don't have the attention span to listen 84 minutes of an album. So if necessary, then just take a little break. But for us, it's important to, you know, put all these songs that we wrote in this period of time to one album. It wouldn't work that we maybe use it for the next album or for an EP. It's important for us to do it like that.
And I also think this is something, this is also this post-rock thing, which I really liked when I first got into this genre, that you have this lengthy ups and downs and all that. And I think songs that are just 6 minutes long or something, that it's not the same feeling as
just
it is.
6 minutes. You know, take your time for some build-up, you know? It doesn't have to be radio-friendly.
I mean,
of course, if you just repeat one riff for 15 minutes or so, it might get boring. But, you know, I don't want to shorten a song if I have my ideas to, you know, progress it. So if it turns out to be 11 minutes, then I have to live with
then
that.
Why not, yeah.
Okay, so here's a follow-up. Do you think albums should come with listening instructions?
No, absolutely not. I think everybody should handle it as they want to handle it. You know, for me, for example, when I started to listening to vinyls, it was kind of a therapy to my listening habits that I had before, because you're forced to listen to at least like half, or if it's a double vinyl, a quarter album, without being able to forward or skip or whatever. So maybe the music wins again a bit of you know, worthiness.
To me, it is like watching fish in an aquarium. It calms me down.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to like atmospheric music or post rock or black metal, then I think you should have a thick skin for long songs. And
totally.
Yeah, you know. If it's too much for someone, or they cannot handle it without a pissing break to listen to a song for 11 minutes, then it's up to everyone. I won't tell anyone how to listen to music or how to enjoy it.
Understand it, yeah.
Either people like it or they don't. And I'm perfectly fine if people don't like it. But of course, I prefer if they enjoy it.
Yeah, right. So just for the record, Animation and I are both album fans and long album fans, so no surprises, we really enjoy the album. But
thank you guys.
a quick thing that I also wanted to ask, I mean, you know, in Austria you have the Amadeus Austrian Music Awards, and a few years ago you were nominated in 2017 under the hard and heavy category, and the following year you were also nominated in the Metal Hammer Awards in the up and coming. So I just wanted to understand, what do awards mean to you? And do you think that they have an impact on the bands that win? I kind of got a hint.
No, you know, it maybe looks nice on a fucking promo sheet, but in the end, it doesn't matter at all.
Just fucking...
Come on, seriously, who gives a fuck? Who gives a fuck like about the Austrian Music Awards? That's just complete fucking bullshit. I mean, okay. Of course, it might be nice if you have some space on your shelf for this like weird thing if you win it, but in the end, nobody gives a fuck about it.
No.
Right. But okay. It's nice to be there at the awards and have free drinks, maybe. But
no, I would never ever once more attend there personally.
Fuck it. JJ, he always wanted to get out because he had to sit through the whole thing and it was so fucking boring.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Fucking hate it. Then I would never return there.
So I must ask, it's not like the Grammys where like the metal awards are given separately and then the main categories, you'll have
the Austrian Music Awards.
It's Austria. Nobody cares about this country.
Okay. Okay. So
Jade can maybe make your parents proud, but that's it.
Yeah, but it's the right thing. Yeah. It made our parents proud.
Yeah, but in the end, it's just fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
All right.
It means really way more to us that, proud, yeah. For example, we can talk to you guys like from like across the world about our music. That means way more to us than
totally.
The fucking Austrian Music Award.
Wow, that's awesome. We'll take that as a huge Philip horns up. It's better than the Austrian Amadeus Music Awards.
But. It was the first time it showed my father that I'm not just screaming around. So maybe it was necessary.
Okay, cool. So JJ and Matthias, here's our last question. And this one could very well be a very long answer. We don't know. Given the association of black metal with Hare Kiri for the Sky, I want to understand, what's your take on black metal? Where do you draw the line with what is black metal and what is not black metal? Because black metal is a really funny thing.
I think
it can become a really
funny thing. If you ask us the question, it will be a very different answer as if you would ask it to someone who is like 45 years old and was in the scene in the early 90s. We would probably completely disagree about it. But, for me, the span, what you can call black metal, it varies a lot. So I think there's nothing wrong with bringing in new influences, and I think it's good that the genre evolves and that you have like the actual spirit and the harshness of like the first or second wave, whatever, black metal, and combine it with other elements. For me, that's perfectly fine, and I enjoy it. And other people might think it's different, but that's beauty of it. Everybody can decide for themselves. It's nobody's forced to listen to something they don't want to listen to.
Yeah, and that's something I also always found interesting in black metal. At the very beginning, it feels like everything is the same and stuff. But I think in the last 25, 30 years, black metal always progressed a little bit. Maybe in the post-black metal direction, or it mixed with hardcore or anything, but it was never just always the same thing or something, and this is why I still really like this genre. So yeah
I know it's not like I don't know, some Dutch gabba techno that is like existing for 5 years and then it dies. So because the black metal is just immensely intense, you know, and why should you not use that and add some other elements?
Yeah, totally.
Awesome answer.
Awesome.
Alrighty, on that note, Hare Kiri for the Sky, thank you so much for chatting with us on Horns Up. This was excellent.
Hey, thank you too, guys. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks for the interview, mates.
Yeah, and I hope you stay safe and healthy in those troubled times.
That's it. Horns Up is tiers ahead of the Austrian Music Awards in terms of street cred. Ain't that a cool thing to brag about?
Yeah, I think we should update our bio with that and like give credit to it. Like, you know how they used to put it, the stickers on the CD? Like, so-and-so label said this album of the year, blah, blah, blah. That's how I feel it.
Well, you're the marketing man. Make it happen. Let's wind this down. Reach out to us. We're at hornsupport.com or on the Twitter machine at hornsupport. I'm at Admoani.
I'm at Trend Crusher.
And this is Horns Up.
Horns Up, guys.